Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us on the cross, giving us eternal life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood on the cross for us. And because we believe in you and we have received you as our Lord and Savior, put our trust in you. We are washed in that blood. We are washed in that blood. And we have eternal life. Thank you for loving us so much. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, Father, I pray that as I share your word for a little bit, that everyone under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear and a heart to receive, thus having their lives changed because of your word and because of your presence. In Jesus' mighty name, let the church say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want you, if you will, turn back again to the 37th Psalm. Psalm 37. Hallelujah. And in this psalm, we're told not to fret, not to worry, not to become discouraged by those who prosper in their own way, do their own thing, practice evil. And seemingly they prosper. Many of them seemingly are successful. And sometimes those that live for God and do what's right, sometimes it seems like, hey, things are not working out for me. And God knows how this world operates, don't he? Yeah, he knows how this world operates. And the world itself is anti-God. Yeah, yeah. The world itself is anti-God. That's the reason in the book of Corinthians, the Bible tells us that Satan is the god of this world. Now hear what I just said. Don't misunderstand what I said. And that's a little g, by the way. He is the god of this world system and the way the world operates. Let me give you an example. In the book of Luke, 4th chapter, during the temptation of Jesus, the devil offered Jesus the world, showed him the kingdoms of the earth and so forth, and all the sin and so forth going on. He told Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, I give all this to you. You can have it. And he made another statement, and you can read it. We won't go there. You can read it in Luke, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 1. But he made another statement. He says, I give this to you because it has been delivered to me. And it had been delivered to him by Adam when he fell. God had given Adam charge over everything. There was no sin in the earth, but God gave Adam charge over it all. But Adam fell, didn't he? And by obeying Satan by eating the forbidden fruit, he lost his kingdom that God had given him. And Satan became the god of this world system. You follow me, what I'm saying? Jesus is Lord. Somebody say it. Jesus is Lord. Amen. But Satan is Lord over this system, this world system. He's not my Lord, and I hope he's not yours. Amen. And you've heard me say it many, many times in John chapter 17, and we're going to move on. Jesus was referring to this system when he says, Father, I pray, as he was praying, he said, Father, I pray for those that follow me, that believe on me. I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. Or the evil one. In order to win the loss, we have to still be here. But folks, let me tell you something. Are you listening to me? We must learn how to live in the world without being of the world. Now, let me say that again. We must learn how to live in the world and not be of the world. I don't hear it too much anymore, but when I was a young Christian and maturing and being among saints, you know, you would hear this phrase. Well, you know, he saved or she saved, but they sure are worldly. Anybody ever heard that? They saved, but they worldly. In other words, you know, they are being influenced by the world. They still want to taste a little bit of the world. Amen. But we have to understand that in Christ, Jesus is our Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen? So we are told then in Psalm 37, not to fret, not to get upset because of those who live by the world and lie, cheat, and steal, and murder, and do all sorts of terrible things. But yet many of them have plenty of money. They have all the material things they want. And they got the big houses, the big cars, the big yachts. But we can't be moved by that stuff. Amen. Amen. And now hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying having a big house is wrong. I didn't say that, did I? If God bless you with a big house, you need to throw your hands up and thank him for it. If God bless you with a nice automobile, you need to thank him for it. Amen? But have the house, but don't let the house have you. Have the nice car, but don't let the nice car have you. You know, God may bless you with lots of money. Have the money, but don't let the money have you. Because the Bible tells us we can't serve two masters. We'll love one and hate the other. Amen. All of us have to live. We have to earn a living. You know, make money to live, pay your bills, and so forth. But here's the thing. Whenever we check out of here, none of that stuff is going with us. We use it while we're here, but it's not going with us. Glory to God. And that's the reason we need to continually, every day, store treasure in heaven. Well, Pastor, how do I store up treasure in heaven? By obeying God, being a blessing to someone else, praying for the sick, leading someone to Jesus Christ, helping them get born again. If you see someone that have a need, help them out with that need. If God blessed you and you are able to help someone else, you bless them. Yeah, I would, but I can't stand them. You know, it serves them right. They're struggling. They had it coming. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if your enemy need a drink of water, give him some water. If he need food, give him some food. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're not to fret because of those who prosper in their ways, their wicked ways. But the Bible gives us four main things that we're to do that will put us over in life each time and every time. Trust God. Amen. That's beginning in verse 3, I believe it is, Psalm 37. Trust God, trust in the Lord. Let me read it. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Trust God. The second thing is delight yourself in him. Amen. Christians need to be excited because of not just who they are, but whose they are. Hallelujah. And commit your way to the Lord. That's not always easy, is it? But we can do it. Can I tell you something? Grab a hold of this. Anything that the Bible says you can do it. Let me say it this way. Anything that God requires of us, we can do it through him. Amen. Let me tell you something. God is still setting people free from drugs, alcohol, fleshly sins. And I could go on and on and on. God is still setting people free. But you got to believe it, and you got to be willing to be set free. A person can be full of demons. If that person want to keep those devils, guess what? God's going to let them. And even if you happen to cast them out, if the person don't change, guess what's going to happen? They're going to come right back and they're going to bring some help with them. But if you want to be free, you can be free. Amen. Glory to God. We must commit everything to him. And then what you do? Then you rest. You rest. You be still in his presence. You're not all fidgety and just nervous and agitated, you know. You just rest. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. rest in the Lord. Jesus came to give us what? Rest. When you've cast that care over on him, truly have cast that care over on him, you can rest. Now, that's not saying that the devil not going to remind you of that thing again. But what are we to do? Let him know, I gave that to Jesus. That you're knocking on the wrong door. Now get off my porch. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll move on just a little further. Now, I'll go back and read some more of this because Psalm 37 has a whole lot to say about the unrighteous, and their future is not bright. And I'm, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all that tonight. We'll pick up another time. But go down to verse 16. Look what it says. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. You see that? Let me say that again. A little, they got it on the screen, that a righteous man has, and we're talking about material things, okay? A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of a few wicked, many wicked. Now that's in the Word of God, folks. Hallelujah. I want to say this, and you've heard me say it before, but some haven't. We're not on this earth by accident. Okay? Now, sometimes the circumstances surrounding our conception may have been wrong. Y'all follow what I'm saying? You know, some folks probably might have been doing something they had no business doing. But then there's biology that takes place. But here's the thing. God is the one that gives life. The Bible tells us that we are, our makeup is spirit, soul, and body. Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that we are created in his likeness, in the likeness of God. What does he mean by that? We are spiritual beings. You understand? We're spiritual beings. And because we are spiritual beings, of course, we will live or exist throughout eternity. Now, if we get saved and get Jesus in our lives, we're going to live with him throughout all eternity. If we refuse him and die without him, the Bible says that those folks will be one day cast into the lake of fire. And forever and ever and ever and ever. Okay? Why? Because once you're created a spiritual being, you're going to exist. Spirits don't cease to exist. Y'all following me? I know some of you heard me say this before, but spirits does not cease to exist. Amen. Even demon spirits. Even the devil himself, Satan, he too one day will be cast into the lake of fire to be tormented forever and ever and ever, because spirits does not cease to exist. So we have been, now they're angel spirit and they're human spirits. We are mankind, we are human spirits. We're created in the likeness and image of God. And our spirits will never die. Even when this body can no longer hold our spirits, this body goes to the grave, but our spirits either go be with the Lord, our spirit and our soul either go be with the Lord, or it goes to hell. The body goes to the grave, but the spirit goes to be with the Lord if you're born again. Glory to God. Now, let me get back to where I was. When God created us in his image, in his likeness, he imparted into us the gifts and the talents that we need to serve him. Amen. Now, I realize, you know, they have to be developed. Let me phrase it a little different way. Everybody have a calling on their lives. I think you can understand that a little bit better. Everyone has a calling on their lives. God wants to do something with each and every one of us. Now, when we say calling, most people think about the ministry, you know, the fivefold ministry, being a pastor or an evangelist, something like that. Though that's a calling too. But every one of us have a calling or a purpose. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us all of us are ministers of reconciliation. Every one of us are ministers of reconciliation. So that doesn't mean that you are a preacher as I am, but you've been called to serve God. You've been called to serve God. All of us have been called to serve God. So, that, you know, there's a reason we're here. Amen. Paul, turn that air down. There's some folks getting cool in here. Okay, thank you. We've all been called to serve God. So there is a purpose for each and every one of us. Amen. Why don't you tell yourself, I have a purpose. Say that. Say, I have a God-given purpose. Amen. Listen to this. And my God-given purpose is to be a blessing to others and to bring glory to God. And as we walk with him and serve him, it develops. And the Bible talks about it. We won't go into all that. And so praise God, hallelujah. I'm about to get away from my subject, but I want you to understand that there is a reason that you're here. There's a reason that I'm here. Hallelujah. So, you may not have everything that someone else has, that the wicked has. Understand something. God has put something on the inside of you, and this is what I was going to say, and I probably going to have to finish this later on. But this is the point I want you to get. God, when you came into this earth, God has everything you need already waiting on you. Let me give you this example. You know, we as parents... Have you ever said, Dad, or maybe Mom, said, when my son or daughter could be, say, when they get old enough and able to, I'm going to buy them a tricycle. But I'm not going to buy them one now because they're not ready for it. Once they get the tricycle and Mom and Dad stand out watching them riding the tricycle over the yard, Dad looks over and Mom says, let's go ahead and get that bicycle. It's time for a promotion. Then on and on, after a while, it's an automobile. My point is, we're not ready to handle all of it yet, but if we'll walk with God, as we mature in God, walk by faith, you hear me? Walk and live by faith and trust God. Everything that you need will be available to you. All you have to do is reach out and take it. Amen? So don't worry about those who are prospering in their own way. Our focus is to please God. Our focus is to please God. And don't you ever think for one moment, listen to me good, don't ever think that God don't know where you are. Don't you ever think for one moment that God cannot get someone to you to give you what you need. But you understand, we got to have our priorities in order. And our priorities is to serve God and to love our fellow man. Serve God and love our fellow man. Hallelujah. I remember when we had bread and beans. That was about it. And then beans and bread. But you know what? We blessed it. We thank God for it. And we began to praise Him for the meat that was coming to go with it. Hallelujah. I talked with some folks today, and you mentioned the word bologna, and they said, ooh, how could you eat that stuff? Well, if you came from where I come from, you'd be glad to get it. And I still love bologna to today. Amen. But my point is, when I was born, the same for you. God had everything here. But I had to walk with Him. Now, I could have chosen to go my own way. I could have chosen to go my own way. But when I got into the Word of God, I discovered, hey, I can have a better life. I want to walk with God. And not just for what I can get from Him, but just to have Him in my life. Loving Him and Him loving me. Are you still here? And I don't have to envy the wicked. I don't have to envy those that prosper in their own way. They may have a million times more than what I have. That's all right. I got Jesus. And I'm going to have what I need when I need it. I'll have to use my faith. I may have to call those things that be not as though they were. But that's all right. The Bible tells me, listen to this, The Bible tells me that God hears me when I pray. Do you believe God hears you when you pray? Do you believe God is listening when you pray? But that ain't all it says. It says we must believe that we're going to receive the things that we pray for. We got to believe that he hears, and we got to believe that he's going to respond on our behalf. It may not come in 24 hours, but that's all right. God's going to show up. He's going to show up big because God loves his children. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, say, God loves you. Yeah. Amen. Let's edify one another. Tell somebody else that God loves you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to do something right here that's totally unexpected. Hallelujah. Priscilla, Lisa, Cora, and Barbara, I want you in on this. Glory to God. I want you to come up here. Glory. This is for the glory of God. Thank you, Lord.